Thank you, Eva, and everyone. Welcome to part two of me trying to get it together.
This is just like the perfect, we are a train wreck, and that's what this episode goes to show. It's super fun. We had our first guest in a long time, and it was the two lovely ladies from Sinisterhood. We had a blast, but they really, as Em will mention in the episode, were so professional on when we were on their show.
So, and then, professional.
Ooh, we dragged them over here and went, sorry.
We just like walked them into a dumpster fire after they had us hanging out in a palace. I literally just now, like, they wouldn't have done what we just did. I totally messed up and I was like, we have to record all over again. Like,
Em just literally yelled in the middle, it's July. And I was like, no, it's not.
That is so not Sinisterhood of me. Anyway, if you'd like to go check them out, if you're not already listening, please go check out sinisterhood.com. Also, so we did an episode with them. They did an episode with us. And yeah, it's just an episode where we were telling our stories and we had two extra people throwing in their comments, all of which were very, very funny.
They're both very funny, extremely funny, and also extremely smart. So it is a really fun, goofy episode to listen to on our end. And then we had such a blast on theirs. So that came out earlier this week if you want to check it out. They're basically on any platform that we're on. But yeah, you should definitely stick around and listen to this. We had our first guest on for a reason. We don't do many guests, but this was just a special occasion, and we were so excited and proud to have them into our lovely dumpster fire.
It felt right, and a lot of people have been asking for this crossover. So to those requesting, here you are, and we hope you enjoy it.
Have fun. Okay, stop recording.
We are here. See, I already can't do it. We are here with a very special guest. We are here with the ladies from Sinisterhood.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much. This is so exciting and such an honor.
Yeah.
Gosh.
We're like simultaneously pleased and terrified that we did a crossover on your show first, because Em and I sat there having telepathy the entire time. We were just talking about this, about how smooth and seamless it went. And we were like, they don't know what they're getting into here. when we start our episode with no script, nothing, just.
You know what? That's impressive that you can just do it on the fly. I like to see how the sausage is made, as they say.
Well, here's the sausage. Here's the really disgusting footage from that documentary that made you never want to eat again.
Like the discount sausage. Yeah. The 99-cent
store. I am glad we were on your show first, or recorded first, because had we done this and then jumped onto your show and saw how well done it is, I'd be so like, oh my God.
Whatever. Y'all are very sweet. Thank
we're
you
all,
so much.
We're all doing a different thing, and we just want to, we're here to party, man. So it sounds like we're here for y'all.
Yeah.
This is a party, y'all.
And we're doing, I guess, just like a regular episode, but we wanted you guys to come on and just like, I don't know, join in the audience, like bantering, I guess. Yeah.
We're like that woman at the Lonely Island concert that no one gets that reference, because that just happened before we started recording.
Off the air.
But we're
I'm just excited to be here.
Yeah, just we're just excited to be here.
Just happy to be here.
Well, usually we get off track immediately and tangent for 15 minutes, but we'll try to act kind of professional with you.
Give the people what they want. Let's change it up.
Don't change what you do for us by any means.
Well, usually we ask why we drink, or at least we try to remember to ask that question. But is there a reason why this week why you drink? Can be good, can be bad, can be a random total reason. Is there any reason?
Good question. Cool.
Let's do this. It's a big announcement why I'm drinking that we haven't announced it on the air yet. But
oh my gosh, you're
going to
announce it on their show.
We're going to do it.
This is amazing.
This is huge. I gave my notice at work, so I'm going to be full time podding it up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
So it's like, cheers. It's a good thing it's a nonprofit, so I can still do pro bono work with them, you know, as schedule allows. But I told Christy, I sent her a GIF of Texas Hold'em, and I said, I'm all in, baby.
Hell yeah.
It's a little surreal to tell your work. I have to stop doing this job to do where I talk into a microphone and like talk about horse taints and conspiracies and like ghosts, some law stuff. And they're like, is this why you went to law school? And I'm like, yeah, it's to be a podcaster. Actually, obviously.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Very exciting.
So exciting.
So how long have you been thinking about doing this? Like officially leaving?
Well, as a kid, I wrote in a little notebook that I wanted to be a lawyer and a TV star and a radio star. And so there's a little paper where I circled them. And so, you know, forever I've wanted to do both. But the reason why I took this job was because it was a lot more 9 to 5 and I could do it nights and weekends. And now as we're growing more and more, I just like lay on my Helix mattress. Shout out.
But I promo code drink. Not yeah,
promo code, yeah. We are on your show. Yes. Promo code drink. But I lay on my, you know, I can't sleep as much because I'm working on the show. So we're trying to, so it came about in the last, we just got represented. We now have the same agent as you guys. YWME.
Yeah.
And oh so, my God. Hell yeah. That's great. So, that's so, what happened to us. We were like working and working and then doing this on the side. And it got to a point where I was like, we got to make moves. We got to pick.
It was because we got repped with WME and they were like, we're going to go on tour. And I went, my job is not going to be cool if that movie is long.
Same. If I'm gone 3 weeks at a time.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's same. Why we ended up leaving our job. Well, congrats. Thanks for giving us the exclusive scoop, by the way.
You get the scoop. This is where it will be announced. So that's that's another reason to drink is because now we share an agent with you. So
yes.
And I just want to point out, we all came together here today through sliding into one another's DMs. It was not the Hollywood machine.
It was true. Very true.
This was we a did this on our own campaign.
Yes,
it was
true.
It was.
Fans, tons of listeners message. Anytime we would both get tagged in a meme on Instagram, we would share it. And always the response was, oh my gosh, you'll have to cross over. You have to work together. Exactly. We're like, any day, tell us. Yeah. We'll be here.
And I like reference you guys a lot in my stories, like a big weirdo.
No,
and,
we appreciate it.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, well, Heather said this about the law. And I'm just like, okay.
I am the law.
It's like my way of sounding like I did my research. I'm like, well, somebody else said this very smart thing. So I'm
going to
repeat it.
It's legit. I'm psych checked by Christy. So.
And why do you drink, Christy?
Well, I had 2 souffles yesterday.
Oh my God.
Wait,
sorry.
Amazing.
Sorry, Heather. We're not congratulating you anymore.
This is the big trending news.
Yeah. So I went to this restaurant in Dallas for the first time called Rise Number One, and it's this souffle restaurant. And this is very embarrassing. So I was going for a baby shower brunch, and I didn't realize that one of my very good friends, who is the sister-in-law of the person having the baby, was picking up the tab for everyone. Ooh. When the waiter was saying, I had already said like, okay, I'm going to get this souffle. But then the waiter gave us all the specials. And one of them was a lobster souffle. He was like, it's $50. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get that. And then I also got, so I got the most expensive thing on the menu. And then I also got soup and a dessert souffle.
You have to get the soup though, because they put the marshmallow, but then it's goat cheese in it. It's so good.
Amazing. Those weren't real marshmallows?
In the soup? It's cheese. They don't put marshmallows.
I thought it was real marshmallows.
It's goat cheese.
It's called marshmallow soup.
Yeah, it's goat cheese that's in there.
I was like, this is a weird textured marshmallow. It's because it was goat cheese.
I can't believe you ordered a $50 lobster souffle on somebody else's tab.
Dude, that's amazing. I was fucking mortified. So I came home and I was like, Tommy's like, how was it? I was like, here's what happened. And he just looked at me, he goes, you got to Venmo her. Yeah. And I was like, I know. Okay. All right. So I Venmoed her and I was like, I'm so sorry. I would have never ordered the most expensive thing on the menu had I known you were picking up the tab. But that to say, it was amazing, as was the bread pudding souffle I had. So I will drink to that. And my marshmallow goat cheese. That's really funny because it's a tomato bisque soup. So I was like, marshmallow is an interesting choice, but they're French.
That's
so
hilarious.
What do I know?
Who knows?
You know what? To be fair, if I were picking up someone's tab, I always kind of, I know they're trying to be nice, but if I'm with a group of people and offering to pay, I want you to have the experience of a lifetime, and everyone's trying to be nice and they're like, oh, I'll just get a salad. And I'm like, you better get fucked up on food at this
table. Like if I'm paying for this, no. Better get the marshmallows.
Yeah. So
yes.
If I were paying for the tab, I'd be like, you know what? She came to party. So I'm having a good time.
That's amazing of you. And my friend did say that. She was like, you did not need to do this. I'm buying your dinner next time we go out. It was my treat, but I was mortified.
I feel like there are those people who would be like, I want 3 lobster souffles to go, please. It's on someone else's. I feel like they probably knew, like, you're not that type of person.
No, yeah, she's a good friend. So
if if Christine were like, oh yeah, you can pay for my lunch, I'll just get like a cup of soup, I'd be like, I pray to God you're getting more than that. And then
and if you wouldn't pay like, for it,
I'd be like, now you can pay for it. Here, chump change food and go for it.
If you don't order $100 worth of food, you're picking up the tab yourself.
Exactly.
Don't
embarrass me.
We're both traveling soon, which we haven't even talked about on the show, but I'm taking a baby moon with my best friends to Palm Springs, and then Emma's leaving town. And so we had 7 episodes that we had to record before both of us left town all of a sudden. And so we were like, oh God, we got to do 6 or 7 episodes in 2 weeks or whatever. And the only way that we really get through it is by letting our new rules that we can all order Postmates, including Eva, on the days that we record, as like, mm-hmm. it's a work expense.
Tax deductible.
We plan for what are we all going to order on Postmates after this? That's the prize.
You know what? Whatever gets you through. That's a lot to record in a short amount of time.
I wish we had a souffle restaurant, though.
You got to.
Oh, so it's real good.
Souffle to go.
It's real good.
Yeah, Christy knows I'm always like, that's deductible. We can deduct that.
Yeah.
We can go stay at that hotel. It's haunted. We'll talk about it on the show. It's deductible.
That's for research.
What Christine does. Whenever we were on tour, she'd be like, okay, so the most haunted hotel, but, and I'd be like, I don't want to do that. And she'd be like, but it's through the business account if we do.
It's 4-star restaurant. And they have a great bar, and it's also haunted.
You're describing the Adolphus, which we have a lovely episode about.
I
think you covered that too, Em.
Yeah. I will say I have had haunted experience at the Pfister in, I think it's Milwaukee, mm-hmm. which, so you should go there. And then where was the one we went when we toured New Orleans?
Oh my gosh, there's so many haunted hotels in New Orleans.
The Monteleone I've stayed in and it was haunted, supposedly.
I stayed there on my fake honeymoon where we told them it was our honeymoon so we could get free champagne. So that's nice. Another pro tip. but I go on a lot of moons, clearly. But what was the one we stayed at? I don't remember, but it was haunted as hell. And it was actually we were scared. We actually had to sleep in each other's rooms because we were so freaked out.
Aww. It was an orphanage that caught on fire or something. It was
nuns in it.
Imagine the worst story. Yeah.
And a war hospital also.
There was
Now it's a hotel now?
Now we all stay there.
Oh, 5-star.
All right.
Rebranding. We just got to rebrand it.
And we were on a ghost tour and the guy stopped and was like, this hotel. And we were like, uh-oh. And
our stuff is in there.
That's our window. Yeah.
He was like, don't go in there. You'll never come out. You're like, are we out right now?
He was like, sometimes wallets go missing. And I went, uh-oh, I got to check my shit.
That's just a great ghost tour guy to say, sometimes wallets go missing. And then he's just the one that's just picking them out. And he's like, it's a ghost.
Who knows?
The cops.
Mysterious.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I don't know how many episodes of this you've listened to. If none, that's fine. But we've listened to
your show.
We're going to quiz you now. Just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
Please do.
We don't even know the answers of our own quiz. It's fine.
But I go first, and mine's the ghost story. Christine's is the true crime afterwards. So, and
ready.
Feel free to banter away.
Okay.
So my story is from Jacksonville, Florida. And this is the story of the St. Augustine Old Jail.
Ooh. Is there a St. Augustine New Jail?
That's a great question.
Actually, you know what's funny is that this is the new jail. It starts, you'll understand within the first few bullets, that this replaced the old jail. So actually.
So it's the new old jail.
It's the new old, the 2.0.
Have we been to Jacksonville on tour?
We have been. This is the story I covered in Jacksonville, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Clearly, I don't remember.
So this is from-
It's fresh for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, when we were in Florida, I'm pretty sure COVID. Like at this point, it was a year before COVID ever happened. So probably not, but it was
extremely,
it was the sick. I'll never be that sick again. It was insane.
Tried to call an ambulance for themselves, but dialed the number wrong. Sick.
Yeah.
That's how sick I was. 911 was too much.
Yeah.
It was 1-2-3.
Well, no, it was because I was, I tried to use Siri and I was call the ambulance and I was just so out of it. I was call the ambulance and it didn't work. Yeah. I went
Siri let you down.
I, I remember having like a hot flash. I was in my grandma's house, by the way. I had a hot flash. I was like tearing my clothes off. I went like temporarily blind. I like couldn't see anything.
Oh my gosh.
And then when I woke up the next day, it was the sickest. I don't think I'll ever get that sick again. So Florida, I don't remember much of it. It was a real wild trip.
And that's a good excuse. I was just drinking a lot, so I also don't remember.
Well, Chrissy used to live in Florida. I bet you tore your clothes off and had hot flashes. You weren't even sick.
Also went blind several times. Florida's a weird place. Florida is a weird, weird place.
Maybe it's like just because I was in the city limits and I went time to get crazy, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to.
So for the St. Augustine Old Jail, one of their tourist websites, this is a quote from them, says, "Ladies, you better cover those ankles. Otherwise, you could land yourself at a stay at the St. Augustine's Old Jail." Which is interesting because very few women are mentioned. I feel like they just wanted to force that joke out. So
I think it was, we could all say it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I thought they were going to say cover your ankles because of the mosquitoes.
Oh,
that's why I would have worn pants and socks.
That's just the Florida tourism website.
You have to. I just thought that there was ghosts in the jail that were like horny for ankles,
like pinching the ankles. That's what I thought. It was like, what a bunch of pervy ghosts.
There's a lot of layers to this joke, apparently. But it does make you think that we're immediately going to talk about women a lot in this. And it doesn't happen. So I'm sorry to have completely misled you. So the history to this is that I'm sure if you're from Florida, you've probably heard of this guy, Henry Flagler.
I'm not from there.
I'll clarify. From,
just not to besmirch the good state of Florida. I am from Texas, but I did live there briefly. But no, I've never heard of this.
Everyone
this guy.
Screamed. This is the only thing I can remember from this live show is that M said that name and everyone started yelling. And I was like, I don't know who that is.
You might as well put your hands from up. There. You know it. Yeah.
Well, because Henry Flagler, there's now Flagler College, which is named.
Okay.
So Henry Flagler, who's a big guy in the railroad industry, he co-founded Standard Oil. He's just like top of the top. And he had a huge issue with the jail in town, which I guess is actually the old jail. It was called the St. John's County Jail. And he didn't like that his wealthy and high-end clients staying at his hotel would have to look at this eyesore of a jail from their windows. Or apparently it was a 360 view to this prison. And disgusted.
Floor to ceiling windows and just all it was prison view.
The hotel was actually in the prison, I'm pretty sure. And so he just didn't want his clients to have to look at it. A fun fact, by the way, the hotel that he owned was called the Ponce de Leon Hotel, which is now Flagler College.
Oh,
okay.
So people that are now in college, if you're at Flagler College, look out the window. And if you don't see a jail, you can thank Henry Flagler for that.
Wow.
So to keep the hotel guests from seeing the jail, Flagler wanted to relocate the jail to the other side of the city. I think he specifically wanted it on the outskirts, so just nobody in town had to look at it.
And to clarify, he's just a rich person. He's not like a mayor in charge.
Just an elite white man. That's all.
You know what? Like, that's how change is enacted in our
what's more powerful
great,
than a mayor?
Country.
Yeah, elite white man.
So he ended up requesting, I mean, this is the confidence of a just rich white man. He just went to the town, the county commissioners, and was like, just move the jail somewhere else.
And could it just be not here? And they're like, where? He's like, the ocean. I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Get it out of here.
It makes me feel icky. So can we do something about that? And at first they said no, but then he donated.
Then he said, I'm a white man. And I tell you, I'm sorry. Where would you like to go?
As he said that, he slipped them a check that was a donation.
And
it was $10,000 to the county commissioners.
Interesting.
So a slight bribe. And they ended up saying, okay, I guess we'll move it now. So they completely rebuilt a whole other jail on the other side of town. They used this is just a fun fact, but the jail's rebuild was done by apparently specifically a prison construction company, which I never even crossed my mind that there's companies that specialize in those things. But
it's good to have a niche. Have like very special, like the bars on the windows, very specific. Mm-hmm. You don't really need those in other buildings.
Up and down, not side to side. Slide through.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you wouldn't want someone that only designs, you know, restaurants to then design your prison.
Yeah, like, right. We do in concept. It's like, no.
We have a lot of here. Natural light.
We want to be able to see the kitchen, the guests, to be able to, like, you know, like, so
immersive,
it's a full
experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, especially if you're like, oh, I know you're used to building normal buildings, but we need you to build one that people cannot escape from.
Yeah. Like, that's no doors.
Like a good energy flow right here.
So they use this company called the Poly Company. And apparently the Poly Company would later go on to be famously known as the company who built Alcatraz.
Okay.
So this was not their last prison that they built. I like how they had graduated at that point where they're like, let's just put it on a fucking rock in the ocean. Like,
you know what people can't get away from.
We've tried a few Sharks. Ideas so far, and the ocean is our really good bet. So they ended up building, the Poly Company built the jail on the other side of town, and Flagler, he decided that he wanted the jail to be painted a, quote, dusty rose shade.
Oh,
got a lot of opinions.
Yeah, he does.
Every opinion was his, because the color, apparently there was a bunch of houses in that area that were also dusty rose. And so he thought, oh, well, if I paint it the same color as the rest of the houses, it won't at least be an eyesore to them. You know, the people
How
who
kind
have
of
to,
him.
Yeah. Thanks. Throw a jail over here, but also throw some paint on it. So I don't
But also to make it look like it. The rest of our houses. So nope. But then also you're like, but now our house looks like the prison.
That's exactly right.
It's prison pink. No, it's prison dusty pink. Rose. It's dusty rose. It's prison pink.
I know it was like the 1800s, but what if the pizza delivery guy like got lost?
Wrong place.
Which house?
Yeah, they all look the same.
And so it was mainly so that it would blend in with the rest of the homes. And also, I guess, so it looked like a fancier jail, because if he was paying for it, then he wanted it to be nicer than the rest. And the goal was that nobody would know it was a jail in the first place, including the pizza delivery guy.
And the people inside.
They'd be like, am I in a mansion?
This is so nice.
That's how you get them. That's how you get them to show up.
In 1891, the jail was finished, and it stayed open for 62 years. So until 1953. But during that time, I don't know if I need to make this clear or not, but the jail's conditions were awful.
Were great. Mm. Oh,
where was Flagler?
Flagler was on the other side of town with his very fancy hotel.
He dropped the check and ran.
It was literally throwing paint on an old barn. He was like, it's going to look great, and the inside's going to be
dusty rose paint.
Mm-hmm. It'll be pink, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some of the conditions. They had very tiny cells. They had no glass in the windows. They were just iron bars, which apparently is called, I've seen it before, it's called iron glass. And
that's misleading.
It's very misleading.
It's just iron bars.
It's just iron bars. So the reason that that's a terrible condition, especially in Florida, is because there's whatever the weather is outside is the weather inside.
Yes. So many mosquitoes. Those big ass water bugs. Yeah.
The things that Christy's told me that live in Florida, I don't want those coming in anywhere where I'm at.
It sounds
what do you
like,
call it? The devil's serpentarium? Oh, yes. Is that what you call Florida?
I said it was the Lord's serpentarium.
The Lord's serpentarium.
The devil works too.
But more specifically, the devil.
You know, one of the things when I moved out here, because I grew up in Virginia, so it wasn't as bad as Florida, but I grew up my whole life with humidity. Moving out to California was such a game changer.
It is.
I live in fear of the day that I might move back to the East Coast, because I can't imagine...
It's trash.
I can't imagine living in a prison where you know it's hotter inside than it is outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All the mosquitoes, how swampy it feels. I mean, so that alone, I would call this a living hell.
It's a good deterrent to not commit crime.
There you go.
M would never show an ankle, nothing. If they knew that the AC was
socks
not
every day of my life.
Socks forever.
Yeah. If I can't have an AC on low freeze, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going home. Where are the ACs on low freeze?
I have a Bumble BFF account, and pretty much the only information on there is I need air conditioning all the time. Please. Like, yes. do not make me hike. I don't want to go anywhere that's going to be warm. If there's no air conditioning, do not expect me to show up. So the jail, so the weather was terrible, and also the jail had space for only 72 people, and apparently 12 of those were for women. So 60 men, 12 women.
They were all together?
Poor ladies. Hang on, it gets even worse. So they only had 12 slots for women because usually women weren't incarcerated just because they were women. They were sent away for hysteria to asylums.
Sure.
Of course. Yeah.
So there was why be incarcerated when you can't help it? You're just a woman.
You have a uterus. It's not your fault.
So there were less slots. So even though it was meant for 72 people in total. There were local businesses going to the sheriff and saying they wanted to use the inmates for free labor.
Oh, and
cool. So the sheriff was letting more inmates come in than 72 so that businesses would pay him under the table for letting them use his inmates.
It's almost like a prison with corrupt origins continues to be corrupt.
What? So obviously this led to overpopulation, and it was so overpopulated. Apparently each cell was meant for, I saw on one website, it was 4 people per cell. And then it was someone else said 6 people per cell. But apparently overpopulation got so bad, it was almost like a dozen people per cell.
Oh,
people started killing each other just to have space, just to have more room in their cell.
Oh,
dear God.
And
I mean, that's awful, but I get it.
I get it too.
I live in a house with just 3 other people. And sometimes I'm like, if you guys don't get out of this room right now, I'm going to lose my mind.
You have 3 people and dogs and a giant pig in your house.
A giant big ass pig. Yeah.
Well, there's only me and my girlfriend in this apartment. And when we all left to do our bathroom break, she was like, why are you in here? So I...
In the bathroom?
Find your space.
Oh, no. I went out to the kitchen to grab some water.
I was like, well, I would also ask if you went to the bathroom.
Okay. We're going at the same time.
We're sharing. We're sharing. Yeah. So the women's cells, to answer your question, the women were on the first floor and the men were on the top floors after that.
Mm.
So allegedly, some of these women were only brought in, not even because they had done anything criminal, but because they were spinsters and didn't have anywhere else to live. And so they were just brought to the jail.
Oh my God.
You're not married, so we have a place for you. And you're like, is it like employment or college? Nope, you're in jail. The pink jail. You go to the pink house. You go to the pink prison.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine your father at the time being like, this wasn't meant to be, but like it's
too late for you.
And
gosh,
but here's something even more horrible is that apparently the women were expected to cook and clean for the whole jail.
Oh no. Give me the chair. I'm not doing that. Hell no.
Whether or not you were, I mean, all of them were inmates, but whether or not you had done anything wrong, you could be a murderer for all they care, but
or
you
a
were
spinster,
expected,
right?
Yeah. Or a spinster. They run the gamut all in one cell. First of all, can you imagine being the one who just didn't get married? Now you're just rooming with a murderer.
Your crime isn't a man didn't find you attractive is what your crime is.
Or maybe they did and you turned him down. Yes. And they're like, you should have married him.
Don't want to deal with somebody's shit for the rest of your life. You enjoy being alone. But now you have to cook and clean for 70 filthy criminals.
Inmates. And the sheriff who lived there with his family.
Oh, super. I just you have there's no impetus to be good. Like, I'm in here. I'm locked up just alongside the murderer. Just start shanking.
The only motivation she had, though, is that because the sheriff and his family lived there, if things weren't up to standard, apparently the sheriff, I mean, he was doing some under the table shady business to begin with, but he was a real asshole. And so I'm pretty sure if she wasn't cleaning and cooking properly, there were like really like maximum punishments being dished out for really small infractions.
God.
So I imagine that was the motivation to scrub the floors all day.
Oh.
The only food that people were offered there were grits in the morning, beans at night. And I don't know what this is. I tried looking it up online and couldn't figure it out. If you were working that day, you were also given tack for lunch. TAC. Anyone know what that
is? Tic-tacs.
Tic-tac. You got one tic-tac for all of your hard work.
Like, may I have a red one?
We only haven't heard of that.
I don't know what tack is. I looked it up and it was a bunch of like, I guess it's a phrase in the military for food. And so I don't think it was that.
I think it's like a ration type thing.
Okay.
I feel like it is. I don't know.
I'm going to go with tic-tac because it makes sense that
let's go with tic-tac.
If you have to work that day, you better be presentable by breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're sharing a cell with 12 other people. Nobody, I imagine showers weren't given to them often.
Probably not.
And also if like people are just going around killing other people in their cell, if you have a tic-tac in your mouth, you have at least 1% more of a chance of surviving.
Yes, that's true.
Or if you pocketed your tic-tac, you'd be like, please don't kill me. Tic-tac. And no one's gonna get somebody that's giving them a tic-tac. That's so nice.
Couldn't.
So there was grits in the morning, beans at night, and tack if you worked.
Grits in the morning, beans in the lunchtime.
It's like a railroad for supper time.
So here's where it gets really fucked up, though. If you wanted to eat any more food, you had to hope that if you were out in the prison yard, there was an animal, and you had to kill them yourself.
Oh my God.
Like a cow or just like a squirrel?
Like a squirrel.
I'm thinking a frog. That went to the prison yard.
I know cows jump over the moon, but not over the barbed wire fence. So,
well, you'd be eating for a really long time if you got a cow, but a squirrel or a frog, yeah, that's like a one meal.
Florida serpentine, what did you call it?
The Lord's Serpentarium. I feel like it's gonna be lizards and frogs.
Just
and
like gross woodland creatures.
Snakes. A lot of snakes. Well, maybe a gator though.
I was gonna say gator nuggets. Also, y'all like frog legs over there. Eat them at least, right? So maybe they had that.
I've had frog legs. I've had gator too. Not bad, I'll tell you.
The last
gator,
time I had gator at the Texas State Fair, which is one of my favorite times of year. And I got little gator chicken nugget kind of things. Mm-hmm. They were so good. It was so fluffy. I've never, like you said earlier, you've never been sicker. I thought that it was the end of my life. I was so ill. And I was a teenager at the time, and I asked my mom, I was like, what's wrong with me? And she was like, you ate a bunch of gator yesterday. That is
classic,
a fair.
Classic Texas illness.
Yeah.
Texas without telling me you're from Texas.
You got the gator.
I got the gator sick.
I've had gator, but I've only had really low quality gator.
You gotta get those bougie gators from fancy like the gator. Everglades.
Yeah, you know, gotta get the gators. Souffle from the souffle restaurant.
$50 gator souffle.
I feel like in Florida there's a lot of options for gator, but in Virginia, I've had low class gator, but I've also had high tier squirrel. I've also had high tier. This is pretty common, but rabbit. I feel like rabbit and gator kind of taste the same.
Okay. No, I've never eaten a rabbit. I ate a capybara. People give me a lot of
Heather's guff. A monster and ate a friggin' capybara.
Yeah, isn't so that the cute. Animal that smiles? What do you?
Yeah, it wears sweaters. Yeah, I didn't know. I was visiting Colombia and there was I speak Spanish-ish, but I did not know the word for capybara in Spanish. And they just kept going, it's chiguino, and I said, I don't know what that is. And they're like, it's just like meat. It's meat. I was like, is it like pork? And they're like, yeah, it's kind of like pork. No, it's not.
Oh my god, it's not.
Nope. Then I ate it, and then I got back to the Airbnb where I had Wi-Fi because I didn't have Wi-Fi at the time, and I looked it up and I was like, it happened.
Oh my god.
I didn't volitionally eat capybara. I was tricked into eating capybara.
Okay, but did it taste good?
I mean, it was like a little bit it was kind of porkish, but it was more kind of greasier.
Oh, gamey. Okay.
Yeah, a little more gamier. I would not do it again. I live with the guilt every day of my life.
I mean, I'm a vegetarian now, but I did used to eat cow tongue. Okay. Mm. My parents in Germany, you eat some weird meat. And yeah, the sliced cow tongue they would put on like bread and butter. And it's so gross because you can see like the muscles. Literally looks like.
Can you see that?
It's like really thin. But you can see the the taste buds. It's
I was at a French restaurant and it was cow tongue with squid ink sauce. I did not order it. The people I was with, and it was the tongue on the plate, like a drizzle of sauce over it. And it looks like a person tongue.
You can see like the dots. It's gross. And then also one time my mom always told us, oh, you're eating kielbasa. I should have known. And it was ostrich. So we used to eat that too.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, I don't know. Ostrich. It's probably clear it I'm a vegetarian now.
I like that.
Ostrich was pretty good.
Like if you already did the heavy lifting.
Because if you wouldn't eat it, you wouldn't eat it if you knew what it was. But afterwards, if you're like, this was really good, and someone's like, well, it was a capybara, you've already said it's really good. You can't take that back.
I've said this before. I remember we got like in a heated debate about forever ago, Christine, but I still stand by it where I'm like, I don't support cannibals, but like, I would like to ask one an honest review about a human just so I never have to even think about it.
Okay, but then I told you what the guy said and you were like, oh, interesting. I was like, okay, but like he also ate like a 16-year-old girl, and you were like, but what did it taste like? We got into a big debate.
And by the way, I am happy that I have the knowledge. I mean, I'm sad I have the knowledge also because something horrible happened. But the review that he gave, I was shocked. I did not expect those to be the answers.
So it was gross.
What did he say?
It was the corn thing. So he ate.
Why did you bring this up, Em?
He ate someone's like the meat on their butt, their rump.
Would you go for butt?
Apparently, because
it's the meatiest.
Is it because it was a tight muscle, or I don't know.
He ate like the whole
mine
person.
Mine sure ain't.
But apparently, because there's a lot of fat like sitting in there, it looks like corn.
Oh yeah. Like that's like when they lipo people, it looks kind of like that when it comes out.
And
yeah. That's it.
And I was like, Em, are you happy now?
I was satisfied and very unsatisfied all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, grits, tack, and beans. Let's
back to the grits.
So they only ate grits and beans, sometimes tack, and also sometimes gator, I think. There was, again, to get back to one of your points you made, there was no running water for hygiene. There were no toilets. There was only one bucket per cell. And it was, unless I was looking at like a, some sort of like imagined illustration, I think I saw a picture of the actual cell with the buckets, and they were tiny buckets. And like,
you gotta get to that bucket first.
A dozen men per bucket. And mm-hmm. And there's no running water to even wash your hands, to mm-hmm. shower. They had enough water to drink, and that was it.
Tic-tac is covering that smell.
Tic tac. Yeah.
But that one tic tac is there to save the whole cell, I guess.
Oh. Early bird gets the bucket.
So, and also my thought too is if there's no running water, like you're not cleaning the bucket in between throwouts. Like, you know?
Yeah.
It's just porta potty all the time.
This is hell on earth.
So many people died from poor sanitation and dysentery.
Shocking.
If you had a bed, you only had a mattress. You did not have blankets. You didn't have pillows. And the mattresses were made with Spanish moss. So they were infested with chiggers.
So
they're not mattresses. It's like plants, and you're just sleeping on
them. You're sleeping on a hay bale, basically.
I imagine if you get up from it, somebody's going to come lay down. You know, there's 12 or more other people ready to just get in there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
you only get up if you got to go to the bucket, and then you've lost your spot.
Yeah, and then you also have chiggers. I don't know if you've had chiggers. I have.
Terrible. They're awful. They're terrible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the inmates were being beaten, tortured, and starved.
Sure.
To make sure that nobody escaped, the sheriff also had attack dogs behind the building to catch people. And in solitary, I don't even think you got a mattress. I think you were just like guaranteed no comfort at all. So it doesn't actually sound much different than what you had anyway. It actually
maybe
sounds
you
like,
got your own bucket though.
That's what I was going to
say. Maybe it'd be worth it. Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly would take the solitary at that mm-hmm. point. There was maximum security, like a death row section of this jail. It was facing the yard, which had the stocks where you like put your hands and your head mm-hmm. through, the gallows, and the quote torture cage.
Ooh. Oh, good.
I don't like the sound of that.
So while you're in maximum security, that's your only view is just watching other people in stocks and torture cages, I think. And I didn't know what a torture cage was. So apparently in 1920, there was an article in the Butte Daily Bulletin. And this isn't about the St. Augustine old jail, but this is about Alcatraz. And the headline was, U.S. still uses torture cages at Alcatraz jail. And I'm assuming these are the same torture cages everywhere mm-hmm. else.
They're standard the same architects, issue. Right?
So, yeah, true. Very true. So here is a quote from this article just explaining what they are. Prisoners locked in the torture cages must stand in a rigid vertical position, unable to move in any direction. So they're just those really narrow cages.
Like a box.
Like the Salem witch trials, they had these.
Yeah.
Apparently the cages are 6 feet high, not even 2 inches wide, and not even a foot deep.
Wait, not even 2 inches or 2 feet wide?
Sorry, not even 2 feet wide. Not 2 inches, 2 feet. They were 23 inches wide, and sometimes they were up to 12 inches deep. And also, if you were taller than 6 feet, that means you were also crouched.
Yes.
Days.
So it's like a stand-up coffin?
Yeah,
but without all the satin and nice in it.
Yes,
right. Not a little pillow.
Yeah,
and you're alive. Yeah,
cotton. Yeah, coffins can be comfortable.
You know what? I would have taken a coffin other than if I had to pick between
the two. Absolutely.
Alcatraz defended. So apparently, the headline was like, "How are they still using this?" Because in 1920, that was considered inhumane,
barbaric.
And, mm-hmm. and Alcatraz defended that they were more humane than solitary confinement because at least if you were outside in an iron cage, you were getting airflow versus being down in a damp, nice. Dark basement.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'd like to move my arms. I don't give a fuck about the sun.
Exactly.
Your vitamin D.
Yeah.
Nah.
They might have also been called steel straight jackets. I saw that that was a reference a lot in the article.
That makes sense.
There was no explanation for it. It does feel like a steel straight jacket. Mm-hmm. You're stuck in iron. So
it makes me feel panicky just thinking about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very claustrophobic. And also like, as someone who always, I already have like a bone or like a back or something that's always sore. I can't imagine being stuck in a place where I can't stretch.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also, again, Florida outside and you're just stuck.
It's not, you can't smack a mosquito on your arm.
All the bugs.
And they're at, you know, you can't bend and they're getting your ankles.
Yeah. Your face. I mean, I guess if it's Alcatraz and there's the sea breeze, that might be a little bit different, but Florida.
Oh God. So I also mentioned the gallows earlier, and they were made for each individual inmate's death.
I hate when they do this. So creepy.
I also heard one reference where the inmates themselves had to build their own gallows.
Wow.
So either you're building your the thing that's going to kill you, or you were sitting in maximum security watching other people build your execution site the day before you were going to die. Either way is horrible.
Torture.
Yeah.
And they also very often miscalculated or mismeasured when they were building it. And so, quote, if not done right, the person being hanged could be decapitated, or in these cases suffer from dangling strangulation.
Oh,
great.
Because I guess based on your weight, the rope has to be a certain length. Mm-hmm. So they just never put that into account. And people were dying even more horrifically.
Because you have kind of amateurs coming through. You know, if it's the first and only one that they build, then they're not doing it right. And it's just more suffering.
Also, if you're building your own, maybe you're trying to fuck it up on purpose.
Yeah. You think, oh, I'll get out, but you don't really know.
Yeah. Build it a couple feet too long.
Yeah.
And several feet.
Just and loose. And then just yank it off and run. But they'd probably check it.
This gallows is 5 feet tall. What are you?
Right. Also, not to be too insensitive, but like, is someone monitoring you making your own gallows? Like, are you watching like a Skillshare video on this? How do I do this? Or, you know? Anyway, so the rumor has it that the inmates had to build it themselves, or either way, it was just being miscalculated. One of the men that did go to the gallows, he went to this jail for beheading his wife with a straight razor.
Oh dear.
We don't feel too bad for him being in those conditions then.
Yeah.
But he also I can't even imagine the time commitment it took to do that.
That's heinous.
Like, you have to really want to, a passionate hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's only 8 documented deaths, probably many more, especially since people were allegedly being killed in the cells all the time. But there's only 8 documented ones. I think those are the 8 that went to the gallows.
Mm.
Everyone else, they were just like, whatever.
I feel like the sheriff is just covering stuff up, too.
Yeah.
He's bribing people. He's loaning human beings out as machines. I don't think he gives a fuck about files.
I think he just got lazy about, he's like, I'll write them down one day. And then he just forgot. Mm-mm. This allegedly after by like the 8th death, they realized that the gallows thing wasn't working. And so they discontinued killing people on site. But still, 8 people had to deal with that. The jail was closed in 1953. It's apparently now a museum. And it's also a historic landmark. And it has a ghost tour called the After Dark Investigative Tour, where it's 45 minutes. A tour guide brings you down and they give you 4 different pieces of ghost hunting equipment. So you can play with those during your stay and see if any alarms get set off or if you catch anything. So
what's the best piece of ghost hunting equipment?
Ooh, there's a lot.
I like the spirit box.
The spirit box is pretty cool.
Voice, it speaks to you out through the radio waves.
Honestly, the best one out there, which is also the hardest one to get, which, by the way, I never told you, Christine, the reason I drink is because we did not make.
No,
we
didn't get the, I thought you were going to announce it now.
We didn't get the eBay purchase.
What were you trying to find one for years?
We've been trying to find one for years. They only show up every now and then because they've been discontinued, but they're known as like the piece of ghost hunting equipment. And it's called an Ovilus 3. And it's a spirit box, but it's a silent one. So it doesn't give that really annoying sound. And basically it allows ghosts to manipulate radio frequencies and speak through the machine to you. But it also has like a Microsoft Sam voice. So you don't have to hear through a radio and guess what the word is. It'll say the word and show it on a screen.
It'll
for
like
you.
Dictate.
Oh, that's
it.
Cool. Oh, that's
and don't great. Be fooled. There's an Ovilus 4 that's like not not None as high quality.
There's obvious, I think all there's now like an obvious seven now or something, but there's the only three. One that people care about is the three, and it's like $1,000 starting. It's really hard to find. And I found one right before our birthday. So I was going to try to surprise Christine with it. And there was this huge bidding war
and was like, how high can I put the eBay bid? And I was like, don't ask me. I'm going to say like 30 grand.
It's deductible.
Big trouble.
What did it end up going for?
It went for like $4,000. It was wild.
Holy
so
shit.
Yeah. Anyway, so the best one is the Ovilus 3, but the Spirit Box in general is really fun. That's one of the ones that they give you on this tour. Okay. They also give you a thermal imager so you can see heat signatures if there's temperature changes. Mm-hmm. They give you an EMF detector, which reads electromagnetic energy. It's a good yes or no game for ghosts where you can say, oh, make this machine light up if it's a yes or no.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say HP printer.
Everyone's wearing dark red dresses.
Actually, honestly, now we might bring a printer to the next ghost investigation.
You know, if you don't have an Ovilus 3, you might as well go all the way back to the printer and just start there for technology.
Start with a fax machine, see how far you go.
And then there was something else I don't remember that they gave you during the tour, but you could play around with it. But I always like a good ghost tour when they offer equipment. I always think that's more fun.
Yeah. That's much better. Yeah.
If you can hear knocking, that is
a ghost.
A ghost. That's the child upstairs that lives in my apartment. She loves to run, and then she also loves to fall, and then she loves to cry and scream afterwards.
So, you think she puts her ear down to the floor and she goes, oh, I hear a ghost story. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty genius too.
I don't know what I swear her parents give her a hammer as a toy and like, hang on the floor. Hang on the floor. It'd be so fun. Anyway. I hate that child. I get she's a kid, but like, there's no child I've ever disliked so much. So where were we? Oh, so the tours. So the jail closed in 1953. It's a museum, historical landmark, and it has ghost tours. These are some of the things that people claim to experience there. People hear footsteps. They hear chains dragging. They hear dogs barking, which I guess we assume is the sheriff's attack dogs. Mm-hmm. Voices talking to each other in the cells and angry whispering.
No.
Other visitors have said that they hear a woman laughing in one of the cells, like maniacal laughing. Mm-hmm. There's a man laughing in the sheriff's office. There are screams and yells throughout the entire jail. A little girl has been heard laughing in the office, which I hate little kids laughing as ghosts. What are you laughing at? I feel so insecure now.
It's probably me.
It's like, you're just making fun of my shirt or something.
Yeah, kids are brutally honest. And even ghost kids, they're will bored. Tear you down. Yeah.
They have nothing to lose.
Cuts to the core.
There was a little kid that when I was like 13, it was like that age where I started babysitting children. I remember there was a little girl that went up to me and went, why are you so ugly? And I was like,
Jesus.
Whoa. Yikes. I was like, you are my first and last child I'm ever watching.
My friends that are teachers will tell me, the kids will be like, you look bad. What's wrong with your face? I was like, send them to the office.
No filter.
Yeah.
And then apparently people also hear the a man humming Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Also so bad. So
it's an eerie song. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Depending on how slow it's being hummed, it just gets worse and worse. Visitors also say that they report the smell of either something really, really sweet that so sweet it makes them nauseous, or the smell of something rotting.
Well, that makes sense. There's buckets everywhere.
Like going into a Bath and Body Works.
Right.
I was trying to think of an example that made perfect.
Yes. It's either a Bath and Body Works or a porta potty. Although I do think it's interesting that both of those things both of those words have been used to describe the smell of death.
Oh.
Yeah, that sweet smell. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to rethink my body spray.
Yeah. By the way, Bath and Body Works smells like death. let's see. Oh, people also say that they feel their clothes getting yanked. They feel someone, this is the worst, blowing on their neck.
No.
Which, like, why? Like, what's the point? What are you getting out of that?
I mean, if you're a ghost, though,
probably sheer terror.
Yeah, that's a good way. If you slap someone in the face, one. It's going to piss them off. But if you go, they're like, oh, what was that?
Scary. The ultimate reaction.
I feel like that's a ghost that truly just wants you to feel so uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you don't know when it's coming again. You know it's happened before. Now you have to be like this for the rest of the time.
You're just tensed up. You can't enjoy your tour.
Professional ghost.
So blowing on your neck, people have been grabbed, they've been pushed out of cells, and they've also been tripped out of cells. God. So they've would like swear that there was something that they just like kind of awkwardly stepped over and nothing was there.
Okay, but to be fair, every time I trip, I'm like, no, there was something in the
it was a ghost. Same.
That crack in my own house came out of nowhere.
What happened? Look, I call my real estate
agent.
Stairs
weren't there yesterday.
People are, one tour guide actually said he's been gut punched while in the middle of giving a tour.
God.
Oh, jeez.
Like, can you imagine being a guest on that tour?
And it's just like, well, you got to go to HR.
You look to the right. You have to go to HR and be like, I need to complain. I was punched at work today. And they're like, we can't. What file are we going to write this?
It's a workers' comp claim.
Exactly.
If I saw the person I was trusting with my safety get gut punched by an unknown force, I would be holding my own stomach for the rest of the day. Being like, I can't wait to leave.
You got to go stomach, neck, because you're covering your neck from the blowing and the ghosts are professional.
So sad.
There's also, well, if your stomach and your neck weren't overly protected enough, there's also been reports of icy cold hands sliding from your neck down the back of your shirt.
These ghosts are handsy.
They really like grabbing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like the only thing worse than a cold hand is like a damp hand, like a cold,
like a moist hand, like a clammy hand.
You know, if it's Florida, it's a moist hand. It's a moist hand in Florida.
I only mention it because
the devil's moist hand.
That's right.
I only mention it because the internet tells me it's cold hands, but I know it's wet hands. I know
it's gotta be clammy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Other people have experienced overwhelming sadness or anger. And when they're alone in the cells, people have also felt really lonely in certain areas of the jail. And apparently there's a little girl named Sarah in the kitchen. Which I know nothing else about. That I didn't even find that in any articles. I found that on a YouTube video, but apparently this person who went on the tour said that she had the most fun trying to talk to Sarah in the kitchen.
Mm.
And so I'm imagining horror. I don't know why, but I feel like she's almost like so scary. You like don't want to talk about her.
I just assume if an entity tries to say, I'm a little child or I'm your grandma, I was like, it's a demon trying to trick me into giving it energy every time.
1,000%. There are people who obviously, this is my least favorite thing, is they see shadow figures. One of them is pacing the kitchen all the time. So they'll just see it going back and forth through the doorway. There's another person walking around in the office, which I guess would be the sheriff because that was his office. Another person is just sitting in a chair staring at you.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't like that.
And then one apparition is said to hide in a corner and watch you. Another crouches.
The crouch. I was gonna say, tell me there's not a crouching one. There's always a crouching or a crawling.
The crawling. Even as a live person, why would you ever crouch?
Crouching is not good. Nothing good comes from that.
Well, it hurts. And you gotta get back up. If you go down, you gotta go back up.
Oh yeah. I go down and just go further. I just fall right on my ass.
Stay there.
I just told Christine, I just had a birthday party a couple days ago.
Sorry.
And one of my friends brought a pinata full of candy, and so it was me and a bunch of like either 30 or about to turn 30 year olds, and we were so excited about the candy we all like dove to the ground to grab the candy, and all of us on the way down were like and then like once we got down there we were like, how on earth are we getting up?
It's hard.
No coming back.
It was like our 9-year-old brains like took the situation by storm, and then and then our 30-year-old knees were like, I know
your bodies
are
like
fucking knees.
Yeah.
And then later you're like, I could have just bought this candy, like, go to Walgreens.
99 cents.
But anyway, so crouching is just a no-go for me for the rest of time.
Nope.
But this very limber apparition will crouch and then stand up and walk through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to leave you on this, there is The Crawler.
Nope.
Well, like these I fucking either. Knew it. I was like, something is telling
also,
me.
Also, crawling as an adult is very hard to do. Like, try to army crawl through your house and just see how far you get. Not there's impressive.
No, there's no shag carpeting in this prison. Like,
no, it's concrete.
Yeah, goat or there's knee pants.
Yes.
Also, I don't know why I make the situation so much worse for myself, but when I think crawling as like a ghost or a demon, I think of it like what could be a more twisted demonic version of crawling. And then I think of the crab walk where yeah. like, they're scuttling.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently it's a human-shaped shadow figure that crawls on the floor and follows you from room to room.
I mean, no. I would really rather, I don't know, jump out the iron glass window. Or
whatever. Yeah, squeeze through those bars.
Can't fathom this.
Anyway, this building is listed in the National Directory of Haunted Places, which I didn't know existed, but now I need a hard copy.
I need some binders.
That is the story of the St. Augustine jail.
Yay!
Oh, I like the crawler it. Will haunt my dreams.
The crawler's no good.
I want to go on a tour, though.
I do.
Yeah, yeah. I want to. I'm glad it's only 45 minutes because some other places I report, they're like, "Oh, if you want, you can stay here for 6 hours by yourself." And I'm like, no. "Oh, I don't think you understand. That's not what I meant."
Once I see the crawler, like I'm out.
I just want to leave.
I want to peek my head in and then just like and then leave. That's all I want.
You can get a feel for it. You know, it's fine. It's plenty of time.
I get the idea. Yeah.
So, show me pictures on Yelp. That's all I really need. Yep.
Oh my God. Well. I now have a crime story. Okay, speaking of being old, hold on.
You're not old.
You're just pregnant.
Yeah, you have. You're carrying two people up when you push yourself off life. The chair.
Yeah, there's no also that.
I just yell my old bones all the time. Something will crack or pop.
I do feel really elderly. I walk around with my hand on my back, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm grandma. Anyway, well, I have a crime story, and this is actually a Texas crime story.
Oh,
and it's in Houston. So it's not Dallas, but
we're not that far from Houston.
It's fine, close neighbors. Enough.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite is if a friend's like, "I'm coming to Houston for work. Can we grab lunch?" I was like,
"That's yeah." The only
a bit
I
of a long lunch.
I'll leave at 4 a.m. so we can make lunch.
I'll take a long weekend.
That's my friends in Virginia, where it was just a small enough state. You could get pretty at least up and down. You could get from top to bottom in like a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And now, when my friends are like, "Oh, I'm in San Francisco. Like, let's get together," and I'm like, "That is 6 hours away."
Yeah,
like,
not
what's happening.
We can Skype. Thanks.
Yeah.
The only reason I know anything about Texas geography is that we did two tours now in Texas.
Yeah.
And I was always the driver. I would get the rental car and those highways, I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why is this entrance like backwards? And it was so many trucks and SUVs. And we were like our little LA selves, like, oh my God. And a little
intimidating
Honda.
I was in Fort Worth and saw a horse on the highway. So it's wild. He was exiting, but it was
don't worry. He was getting off.
Did he wag his tail to the right?
Yeah, he was
so you knew tick, he was getting tick, off. Tick, tick.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And we drove all over Texas. We went to a lot of Buc-ee's.
That's our place.
We love Buc-ee's.
I'm sure. I know. I just heard you guys talking about that on your most recent episode.
We talk about it like kind of a lot.
Same.
So do we.
I feel like half of my clothes are Buc-ee's shirts. And like, I feel like if you're in Texas, you're just like, okay, yeah, it's Buc-ee's. But like, as someone who doesn't go there all the time, it's like we're there for a live show and we go for Buc-ee's.
We leave early to go.
No, as you should. Even in Texas, we are still like, oh, it's Buc-ee's. We
got
to go.
Makes me happy that the magic's still alive.
Oh, for sure.
Very much. Yes.
No, when they
bought my Christmas presents for other people. At
See, that's the way to do
you
it.
You have clothes for your kids from Buc-ee's.
I do. Yes. Yeah.
I brought beaver nuggets to Christmas that Christy had given me and I shared them with my family and they didn't care that I was there. They were like, nuggets. Yeah, they put a new Buc-ee's in, and my mom and her friend were like, "Well, I'm not going to be home on Wednesday because Diane and I are going out to the Buc-ee's." I was like, "That's just like your day trip.
That's
you need
dream.
To go."
Anytime we've gone to Texas and had our meet and greets, we end up with like 16 bags of beaver nuggets.
Yes.
Like,
then I sit in the hotel room drunk, like just drinking the rest of the wine from the live show and like eating beaver nuggets. And
what a time.
It's trying to pack all my Buc-ee's
YOLO.
Souvenirs.
Next time y'all come through, we'll all be there together.
Yeah.
Yes,
I would love that.
Live show of all four at of us Bucky's. At Bucky's.
How fun would that be?
Wait a minute.
Don't even
oh my
say
God.
It.
WME, wouldn't that be amazing? Call quickly.
Call the agents.
Heather, didn't your coworker see someone get married at Bucky's?
I did. There was photos on the internet. I'll find the pictures and send them to y'all. But someone did a Bucky's wedding at Bucky's.
That's genius.
Next level. Yeah. Commitment.
They also made Bucky, because you know there's a giant statue of Bucky out front of the Bucky's. And right now, I don't know if he still is, but he was wearing a giant mask that somebody made for him. Someone had that job. They were like, you gotta go measure and make a mask for Bucky. Yeah.
It's not as like iconic, I guess, but in LA we have like a Ripley's Museum, Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. Mm-hmm. And we have this like, I guess a life-size dinosaur head on the roof of the building. And so you see like a dinosaur like coming out from the store. Mm-hmm. And the dinosaur has a mask. And I'm like, that has to be a bed sheet. Like, it has to be a tarp. Like, like what's the largest piece of fabric that exists? Uh-huh. And that has to be what's
going on. At least in LA, like, every prop house you call is like, that's the least weird thing we've ever made.
It's true. You
know? So true.
We can
so
get you a dinosaur mask by 3 p.m.
Yeah.
I used to get so many weird requests working in the prop house that at this point, if someone said, I need a mask that will fit a dinosaur's face, I'd be like, that. Sure.
We already have three in stock.
Got it. Exactly.
Anyway, so I have a Houston story, but
all right.
You know what? I recognize it's not the same, but there's probably a Bucky's on the way too.
There are several. Yep.
Several. Perfect. So this is the story of the Houston Icebox murders. Do you guys know this one?
Not familiar.
Okay, good. Because I went through all your episodes.
No, we have not covered this.
Okay. I tried to make sure I typed in ice. Like
that we all did our due diligence on one.
Yeah, we did a little recon.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So this is an unsolved case from Houston, and it took place in 1965. We're going back to 1965, when elderly couple Fred and Edwina Rogers, who were 81 and 72, had seemingly dropped off the face of the earth. Mm. They hadn't answered their phone in days, and knocks from concerned relatives had no answer. And they had a nephew named Marvin Marlin. And I wrote to myself in my notes, this is not a typo, because I probably would have assumed Marvin Marlin.
You're like, there's no way. And he's like, it's for Christ's sake, it's my name. Please be right.
So their nephew, Marvin Marlin, grew increasingly concerned and finally asked police to do a welfare check. So two Houston officers arrived at the apartment and after receiving no answers, kicked the door in. They took a look around and one of the really unfortunate officers opened the fridge. Oh. And he saw what he initially thought were stacks of packaged hog meat.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. It turns out they took a look around and took it out thinking, oh, well, they just are really into hunting or something. Mm-hmm. Well, the Amarillo Globe Times reported the next day, quote, on all the shelves and in the freezer compartment were the dismembered bodies cut in unwrapped, washed off pieces smaller than individual joints.
Wait a minute, can you repeat that? What size were all these pieces?
Smaller than individual joints. So nothing was like larger than
everything was cut into like a fillet.
Its own basically.
Like a sirloin top.
Yeah.
God. So okay, my first thought is this is like a butcher or someone who does go hunting a lot to be able
You'd
to know
so, right?
how to make like, that many sizes.
Very methodical.
Cut what in what order?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there were two of them, so
it's
he
a lot.
He had the commitment.
I mean, if
yeah,
I had
you
to,
need an extra deep freeze for that.
Yeah.
Like if a I garage had, freezer.
If I had to cut up a body, it would definitely be like in the weirdest shaped chunks because I wouldn't know what to do. So mm-hmm. this already feels very like this was well thought out.
My, I would do one and then be like, that's a lot. I yeah. Give up.
It's hard for me to do a task without knowing the end. Like I have ADHD, so I need to see a finished task. Hey, ADHD gang. I have to see a finished task in order to work towards that. I can't conceptualize future things.
So yeah. Like if you're so, building a gallows for yourself.
Correct. I would need to see a gallows.
Start like correct. With completed project. Got
yeah.
it.
Or at least see somebody else's.
I need a like a Lego version manual mm-hmm. of like each little piece Anything. One by one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm the person who immediately throws the instructions away and then like just doesn't
see I'm the total opposite and I have to read through all of the instructions before I start and then I'd be like, okay, now I know how to dismantle a body.
Chris,
I got it.
Christine and I, whenever I've hung out with her and I've watched her build anything, it's the most chaotic experience. Like I've watched her just like like take a hammer and nail to things that never needed those two tools. I'm like
there's
what
a pre-screwed hole. Like, what is happening?
Like, I used to like M's favorite
the curtains.
Stories.
Tell yeah. the curtains.
Well, okay. There were curtains, and I thought, I don't want to spend the time to screw up these curtain rods because it takes a lot of time and leveling. So instead, I just hammered nails into the wall.
Classy. And just stuck it on there.
It worked just fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, and you just rest the bar atop the nails?
Yeah.
I know what? Like, that's a nice little design hack.
Thank you.
It does. I will give her credit in that it worked, but like the part of me where I like am such a rule follower when things mm-hmm. like come packaged, mm-hmm. I was just like, this is so not what's supposed to happen.
That would make my eye twitch. Heather knows I'm yeah. a big rule follower, and if anything is out of the ordinary like that, I can't relax.
I like Em did a arts and crafts thing for us once, and we have it all on video, so it's on YouTube. I think it's our Patreon, but we did like this space camp for Eva's birthday, and we were doing crafts, and Em was just getting so angry at me because like there was just like glue in my mouth and like glitter coming off my hair. And Em was like, Christine, like, because Em was being like the parent at the party, like giving out like, here's a plate for you and some finger
that is
paint
me.
For you. Mm-hmm. And oh, Eva yeah. was like, look at this beautiful like spirograph thing I made. And I'm like, here's where I live on this planet, and there's lemons, and
my hand is glued to the plate.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say there is a special place like in hell, but also here for like people like Christine, because like it when it came to that arts and crafts project, though, I was so in my head about it, I was so frustrated the whole time that it wasn't mm-hmm. turning out how I wanted, and Christine was just like kind of just throwing shit together, and it ends up being beautiful. And like mm-hmm. same with building things, where I'm like, that is not how that's supposed to happen, Christine, and it works mm-hmm. anyway. So like,
yeah,
pretty
much
about?
The same.
You really have to. I took a rat taxidermy class. What was it?
Oh, sure.
Class, and they had everything.
You were talking
out.
About your little mouse. That
my
you
little
have.
Mouse, Rat Bader Ginsburg, and the person next to me was just loose, was just going for it, and it was stressing me out because I was like, there are steps that we need to be taking. In order. Mm-hmm. And then she made a cute little bed for it, and it was aww. Funny. It ended up, like you said, the art on the other side of it. I was like, we all have our own art processes, and I just need to accept.
Yeah.
It's very type A. That's hard yeah. to see. Like when we do arts and crafts, my daughter and I, she's 3.5. So, you know, it's yeah. you, off but I'm like, I have to really stop myself and be like, but don't you want to, you know,
color in the lines,
color in the lines, or maybe like she drew a rainbow the other day and it was just it was vertical. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Yeah. So I have to, Christine and my daughter would have great arts and crafts.
This is really great. Cause now that I'm expecting a child, I'm sort of like, Blaze is a Capricorn and he's very grounded and level headed.
I'm a Capricorn.
There you go. See, mm-hmm. and he works in medicine. And I'm like, he's just very like, but you know, he like knows mm-hmm. me. And I'm just one again who just like burns the instruction manual so nobody can look at it and then like mm-hmm. tries to figure it out. And it's kind of crooked, but it
Christine
works.
Christine is such, I mean, in the nicest way, is such a mess. And like, I you're going to be such a fun mom because
oh, yes.
they're going to be like, I want to splatter paint the floor. And you'll be like, why the fuck haven't
like,
you done
let's
that
do
yet?
It.
Like,
I actually have I already done that. So you know what? Do it where I did it. We'll just add to
and
the
that you raise really creative free thinkers when you have that kind of parenting approach.
Let's
so your kid's
so.
Gonna be great. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm gonna say anytime Blaze is like pulling his own hair out.
You're like, they're a free thinker.
Look how open-minded they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Anyway, so on that note, somebody who was not me very carefully dismembered these bodies and put
oh,
them
right.
in very, very carefully pre-packaged.
They're a free thinker, okay? They're not.
They're not a free thinker. They're extremely organized.
No, it's to
me.
A scary degree.
To yeah. a scary degree, yes. Not that I'm comparing all three of you to like serial killers, but
I mean, but when like, you look at that end result, you have to tell yourself, this isn't the first time they've done this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It seems mm-hmm. way too prepared. Mm-hmm. So they also opened the vegetable crisper and found two heads. And that is how they knew these were the bodies of Fred and Edwina Rogers.
How big was the vegetable crisper?
Must have been pretty damn big. Or maybe they had two drawers.
Yeah, we have two in our fridge. But yeah. I don't think it'd be a hard fit to shove a head in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come to think of it, probably.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Not
I picture Texas, everything's bigger. I'm like, maybe the vegetable crisper.
That's true. Yeah,
could be.
So unfortunately, their organs were nowhere to be found. So they had all the like limbs and things like that, but they could not find the insides of the bodies.
Mm-mm.
So Edwina had been actually shot in the head, and Fred had been bludgeoned to death with a hammer.
Fuck.
The killer then dragged their bodies to the bathroom where they were drained of blood, chopped into pieces, and stacked neatly in the fridge. And according to the medical examiner, as we've already guessed, this was pretty meticulous and organized by mm-hmm. someone who knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And a search for the missing organs first turned up empty until a few days later when they turned up in a nearby sewer and they figured out they had been flushed down the toilet.
Oh.
That's
I didn't see that coming. I thought
I did not either.
Are they black market selling the organs?
Nope. Just tossing the toilet.
Oh, God.
I am surprised that all went down.
Yeah,
it seems like a lot to happen in one afternoon.
Like, what's the biggest organ? And also how maybe
heart,
I guess like,
liver,
the brain.
Cut that up?
Well, the heads were in
maybe
the
head was the brain.
Oh, that's true.
I was thinking just from neck to parts, but
just the thought of like putting your intestines in the toilet.
And I was gonna say again though, this clearly is a person that knows that is a you can do that.
Or they're a risk taker.
Or they're a risk taker. But it seems very prior knowledge.
I was going to say for maybe the organs weren't even, I mean, I guess they were so meticulous, I would think that they were prepared, but maybe they got to the organs and are like, oh, I didn't even.
And they're already in the bathroom and they were like, well, flush it down the toilet.
I guess this works.
Could be. Mm-hmm. So as for the crime scene itself, shockingly, it was nearly immaculate. The home had been cleaned after the murders and there was barely any blood to be found, which I think to me is the most shocking part.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm the one who gets pee all over the floor. So I don't know. But what little blood was discovered led to the bedroom of none other than Fred and Edwina's 43-year-old son, Charles Rogers.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. So Charles himself was a very smart cookie. He spoke 7 languages. He had a degree in nuclear physics. Whoa. And he worked as a pilot in the Navy before serving in the Office of Naval Intelligence. But despite his career success, he had recently abruptly quit his job without any explanation in 1957.
Uh-oh.
And became a recluse, according to Houstonia magazine. Mm. And after quitting his job, he moved in with his parents and only communicated with them via notes slipped under the bedroom door.
He's struggling with something.
Mm-hmm. He would like tell them when he wanted food and they would bring into his room. And so he actually had a hot plate in his attic bedroom and a collection of ham radios and some clothes, but that's all they could find. They also found a bloody keyhole saw nearby that they assumed to be like the tool used to dismember the body.
Wow.
So
no sign of Charles.
Mm-hmm. Poof, gone. Left all his shit behind. So once police had zeroed in on Charles, an international manhunt commenced because, as you just suggested, he had left all his precious hot plates behind and disappeared.
And he's a pilot. If we're profiling who did this, it's somebody that is meticulous. And a physicist and a pilot are very meticulous.
Yes.
And careers.
Very, wow. Yep. I had to
think things through. Yeah.
Also, I would think as a pilot, you know, you can fly away from the situation.
Yes.
Easily.
We talked about that. Which one were or some episode? We were just like, you could just get in a plane and go wherever you want. Probably Denver Airport.
Yeah, it was.
You could
If you have a plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you have a license and a plane.
Good point. Yeah. And I bet back then, I mean, nowadays, I feel like most places are probably more meticulous about like who's leaving the airstrip.
If you go to like a small airport though, a lot of times they leave their keys in the plane, which is crazy to
me.
You figure, well, people don't know how to turn them on. It's like, it's not that it's a crank engine. There's some levers and whatnot and things. You got to move it to where it's in the right spot. But similar. Yeah. Across planes.
One of my friends, I mean, nowadays, I guess planes are different, but one of my best friends is a pilot and he's been like, literally planes are the key to start a plane is literally like a car key. Like,
yeah, you just
crank it. He flies like commercial airline. Like he flies.
Yeah.
Flies,
like, I don't know about personal planes, but that fun fact, by the way, that just shocks me that like you get on a Delta plane and someone's just turning on the ignition. Like
they're like,
car.
Where's the keys? Oh, you got them. I lost them. You didn't put them on the hook. They go on the key hook. That's half the time planes are late. It's because they didn't know put the keys back.
They
on
didn't
the
know
hook.
Where the keys.
Just like me.
Because someone
got
to
put your tire tracker on it so you can find it.
I was literally about to say they're like looking around with their phone trying to find their tire.
Beep, beep. So yeah, he had disappeared potentially in an airplane. And spoiler alert for the end, he has never been found or seen again.
Whoa. So
that sounds like the end, but it is far from it because turns out at some point during his post-naval career as by the way, a seismologist for Shell Oil Company. So he also worked as an expert in, I guess, plate tectonics. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Earthquakes. I have no clue. Seismology. He had met a man named Fred Ferry, who would later be suspected of involvement in the plot to assassinate President John F. Kennedy.
It all comes back together.
It's always John F. Kennedy. He's always the thing in the middle. That
the man that invented the shrimp dart that took out JFK.
We love a good JFK conspiracy. We're right down the street from where he was assassinated.
Oh, well, really?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. So, we're just 10 minutes away from it.
On my first date with Paris, we were in the West End and we like had our first kiss and he's like, do you want to walk around downtown? I was like, we are like a block from the grassy knoll. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we can go there.
How romantic.
Like, if that's
when it's just right. Like, you got to show all your cards. That
yeah.
First.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, let's go to the grassy knoll and talk about theories.
Do you know about the JFK theory with QAnon? Are you familiar with that?
I heard, repeat it though.
So QAnon, just like super short log line version of this. We did 3 episodes on it.
Oh, I haven't listened to them.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did, I think just one episode.
We did one, but it was a while back.
We did an entire month of JFK stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, so QAnon is like the anonymous Redditor who mm-hmm. apparently is like giving secrets from the government out to the world. And a lot of people think that that is JFK. And a lot of people also think that JFK, first of all, never died. He was in hiding. And now he is actually Donald Trump's right-hand man and is going to propel him back into the presidency. And he's doing all the behind-the-scenes campaigning right now that we don't know about.
Like, very, it's one thing to say that was JFK Jr., but JFK, first of all, would be 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And there was very well-kept records that his body was dying. I mean, he was ill. He had all kinds of stuff wrong with him. They injected him with, like, amniotic fluid. They were injecting him with, like, all kinds of uppers and downers. Yeah, he was having a rough time. So when we were doing the Princess Diana episodes, I went down this TikTok hole where they were like, Princess Diana is really alive. And then I was like, oh, okay, I can like kind of get behind this. And they were like, and she lives on an island. And I was like, and they're like, with JFK. And I was like, all right, here we go.
It always comes back to JFK.
And then it was like, and then it was QAnon. They're like, and they're fighting the global elite. And I was like, all right,
I've got it wrong. You're a lizard person too.
Yeah. Down the wrong TikTok hole right there. I had to pull myself.
Listen, it happens to the best of us.
JFK conspiracies are like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like, yes, very completely. Quickly, it gets back to JFK.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, you're just reading this murder and it's like, anyway, also, he was never found again, but maybe he murdered JFK. Like,
there it is.
Yes, but maybe anybody did. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's Houston. So it's Ted Cruz's dad. That was it.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Just somehow linked to this, I'm sure. But so, yeah, they said he had met this guy who would actually be suspected of involvement in the plot. Like, he was actually investigated. And so remember how I said he had like become a recluse all of a sudden and had quit his job?
Mm-hmm.
So some people believe that it was right around that time that JFK was assassinated. And they believe maybe he had some sort of involvement and was trying to hide. And there's a book called The Man on the Grassy Knoll by John R. Craig and Philip A. Rogers. And they argue, now, just, this is a lot, just a warning, uh-oh, I'm sure we all know it's going to be a lot, but they argue that Charles was a CIA agent until the mid-80s, having helped murder John F. Kennedy before hiding out in his parents' home. They also argue that Fred and Edwina had been listening in on his phone calls, and as in every cliche spy novel, they knew too much. So they had to be killed. But then I'm like, and also chopped up into pieces and flushed down the toilet. It seems like it falls apart for me, the theory. Mm-hmm. But
It seems too. Why wouldn't you just fake a home invasion?
And if you work for the CIA, you'd think they'd be able to kind of pull that off.
Or like they put ricin in their tea. I just watched Breaking Bad.
So. Yes, exactly.
But you know,
it's
something
like
where
they would just make them disappear as opposed to making it the complete opposite.
The opposite of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and especially also, if you murder JFK, like, don't you think you could murder your own parents and hide the bodies?
Or like, yeah, or just fake it so it looks like they're old, like they're older people, and you put ricin in it and they just look like
heart attack.
There was a murder in Dallas that was like that, where older people were dying and it just everyone just assumed that it was just old age. Well, it turns out it was a serial killer, but it's because they didn't immediately suspect it was a serial killer because nobody's body was chopped up and disposed of in this really gruesome way.
Suspicious, right?
Yeah, it's less suspicious because they were just kind of found in their beds or found on their couches and they're like, oh,
their heart gave out or something.
Yeah, but in this case, it's very clearly a third party actor came in. it wasn't a physical ailment that took them out. So if he was some CIA spy, he was terrible at his job.
He was very bad.
Right. Also, like, if your whole thing is you just want to get, I'm assuming you, he wanted to get away with this. Why would you leave all of their body in the freezer and the fridge? Like, why wouldn't you just put that all in a duffel bag and take it on the plane with you and burn it somewhere? Like,
take it to wherever you go and hide out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put it down the toilet. Oh, wait. I guess it doesn't work either. Well, I don't know. Anyway, that theory to me falls apart a bit, but whatever. What do I know? Not much. So another perhaps more plausible theory was put forth in 1997 by forensic accountant Hugh Gardner and his wife Martha. And they wrote a book called The Icebox Murders. And they did actually acknowledge that they believe Charles did have dealings with the CIA, which actually has been documented. So he did have an association with the CIA. Nobody's sure like how deep it went, but he did have some sort of connection. And also he worked for like Shell Oil and the Navy. So who knows? Like, I don't know. I'm sure he was
in
like
the global elite.
He was a lizard person probably. And they argue that he didn't kill his parents for secret spy reasons, but because he had suffered a lot of abuse at their hands growing up. And they argue that Charles was emotionally and physically abused by his father throughout childhood. And once again, when he moved home as a quote unquote recluse, that the abuse continued. And it, I think this holds some water. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that they laid forth in their book. But one of the things that like kind of makes this a little more believable is that the investigators determined Charles's parents had been killed on Father's Day of all days. Oh. Plus the father's body had been very specifically attacked in a way, like the hammer, first of all, then the genitals were cut off.
Oh yeah.
Dramatically.
That's personal.
And then the mom was just shot and like killed that way. But the dad was just very personal and very, I mean, his privates were removed. So
yeah, up close and violent. Well, I mean, it's like we covered the Menendez brothers and, you know, it doesn't absolve somebody, but it maybe gives you a little bit of an insight into why. And especially I think those connections, if we're, again, we're profiling the person and that happened to the body, that type of intimate interaction, it sounds more like it was deep seated grudge or.
Yeah, truly. Especially if then it was different with the mom. It's like, you just switched weapons and.
Well, she just happened to be there or something like that versus his real target on Father's Day was his dad. That does, that makes a little bit more
instant kill, wanted nothing to do with it, like just get it over with versus this really intimate experience.
So they argue that the Rogers murder and mutilation were a result of years of abuse, so that's their theory. But it doesn't end there, because they also believe the Gardners had been defrauding their son after he moved home. And it turns out they were forging his signature to take out loans in his name before pocketing the money and like buying property under his name. And so there was just a lot behind their relationship that was like really toxic and fucked up.
Yeah. It's financial abuse in addition to all the other kind of abuse.
I was going to say that's also abuse.
Normally you see when the parents are older and there's an adult child, it's the opposite, right? Like the adult child is taking out loans in mom and dad's name. But especially if it was from his childhood on, then, and maybe if he was struggling with something, that's why he came home.
Right.
They were like, he's up in his room. He's on his ham radio. He's not going to know. And they took advantage of him and he lashed out.
Right. I was going to say that too. Cause if he, he came home clearly like after serving in the Navy and clearly had, some sort of
going through something.
Some sort of issues going on.
And if that abuse had been established at an early age, they've kind of already, you know, set the precedence. Like, this is how you're treated. This is how we're going to treat you.
If on first blush you say, oh, he didn't even talk to his parents, he just slipped him notes, you might go, well, that's weird. But if you're trying to save yourself and create boundaries, I'm not apologizing for this person cutting his parents up. But the behavior up until that is at least somewhat explainable. But I think, it sounds
like you might not want any interaction with them for fear of what would happen.
I'm so glad I didn't make the comment earlier then, because when you first said like they were slipping notes to each other, I was like, wow, I really like how supportive this family is of like, he clearly like needs some space and they're letting him have his moment.
Sometimes that happens with Em and me and I'm like, just don't continue.
Just give it a tick. Give it a tick.
Now it makes so much more sense now that he was just trying to set a boundary in a very toxic environment.
And on the flip side, they're trying to get his handwriting and his signature so they can buy land in his name.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right, take his money and shit. Yeah. And he had a hot plate in there. He had radios. He was like trying to distance himself. So, you know, whether that had anything to do with it or not, I think this is one of those cases where it sounds really wild to say he was a CIA spy and he killed JFK and flew away in a plane. But then like the reality of like a background of abuse and mental health issues, just it's not as glamorous, but is also like equally fucked up.
Yeah.
So their theory is that after the financial abuse on top of everything else, that Charles fled to Mexico, probably in his plane, after the murders, eventually ending up in Honduras, where he was killed over a wage dispute with minors. Minors, children.
M-I-N-E-R-S.
Yeah.
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 Very different. But
what information do they have to make them think that?
You know, witness testimony. So it's very much like this story. Actually, it was called by Houston Press and Publishers Weekly separately. Both called it fact-based fiction and supposition. Oh. So even the book itself is not considered like really factual. So it's hard to say like whether how much of this is true.
He disappeared, so yeah, you know, it is all just hearsay after that. Yeah,
and conjecture. He did disappear, never found
the idea
body.
Of writing a book and just going, this is what I think about a factual thing stresses me out without calling it a novel.
Absolutely.
Chrissy said it makes her eye twitch. It makes my ass pucker. Like, I'm like, I can't.
Well, that's one where Emma and I would write 18 pages of apology. Like, we really don't know anything about what we're saying.
I'm like, I need footnotes. So
it's such a specific theory with no real backing.
Yeah.
Some of it did, like the financial stuff had backing, and some of the abuse stuff was pretty well documented.
The miners thing
is pretty much like a little shady of like, I guess that could have happened. I mean, it could have happened just as well.
Lots
as, like,
of things could have happened.
Exactly.
You know,
they were really like, I was convinced the whole way. You are like, if anything, this is the theory I'm running with. And then you had to throw the miners thing in with like no real facts. And I'm like,
it gets a little, it stops being as, I don't know,
sensationalized.
Yeah, exactly. So regardless, we may never really know what happened to the Rogers. Wow. It is still pretty mysterious that Charles never showed up again, dead or alive. Mm-hmm. And despite the manhunt, they could never find any sort of real leads as to where he went. He was declared legally dead in July of 1975. And technically, the murders of Fred and Edwina Rogers remains unsolved to this day. And their son Charles is still the only suspect. So,
wow.
This cold case will probably stay cold, but
wow.
Could they tell when they found the bodies how long they'd been there?
So they guessed it was that they had been killed on Father's Day. I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
And it was end of June.
So a couple weeks.
I would say maybe a week or so. Yeah.
But if they're in the refrigerator, they wouldn't smell.
That's
true. Which again is kind of planning and thinking ahead. But I mean, if you're in the CIA, you might have knowledge like that of just how to handle those types of situations.
And maybe make sure bills and stuff are paid. So it wasn't until someone calls and they don't answer that. Yeah.
Good point. Come looking. Until Marvin Mill, whatever his name is.
Marvin Marlin.
And he has 10 days, 2 weeks to get away too before people find him. Yeah.
Where it's not suspicious to just go to the airfield.
And a lot of neighbors apparently didn't even know he was living there. Like, that's how distant he was. Like, he barely ever left the house. Like, people just didn't see him. So a lot of neighbors were like shocked to learn he had even been living in the attic. So he really was kind of hidden from sight.
A low profile.
Yeah. And no one heard anything. No one heard a gunshot
anything.
Screams.
No.
I mean, if you're in the CIA, you may do a pillow or something like that.
That's true.
True silencer.
You know that too.
I wonder, I mean, had nobody gone looking for them, how long would the meat have just been sitting there? You know,
yikes,
man.
Yeah.
Yikes.
What a case.
Good job. This is what we do.
And then we end on a really downer note. And every week I go second and it's always just a real bummer. So
I really loved your birthday one when M covered
we always yell at people for listening backwards.
But it was such a good like big laugh and you're like, anyway, I'm there's a massacre.
And then I'm like, so this is awkward, M. I didn't really plan ahead for your birthday.
Great.
I don't know why, because the only reason we do it is because in the first episode we're like, who should go first, and I just went, I guess I will.
I was too nervous. I was like, you go.
And now it's just become a thing where, like, really in hindsight, I should have, not that like ghosts and like tortured inmates is a good thing, but at least there's like some sort of potential laugh factor with like the crawler.
It just tends to be lighter than.
Or people just think, oh, this isn't real. Like people that don't believe in ghosts are like, oh, it's not real. It's silly ghosts or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like a cryptid. It's less like sinister.
You guys start ending on a joke.
I know.
It should end on a joke.
Joke of the week.
Yeah, joke of the week.
For a while, we were doing horoscopes at the end.
Oh, that was fun.
For my dog or something.
We tried everything. We tried it all.
We did horoscopes for a minute.
People were like, this sucks.
We went to the psychic fair.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
The psychic fair for a while, but yeah. Well, I mean, we're glad to be here.
Oh, so glad.
Whatever.
Thank you guys so much for having us. And thank you for being on our show, too.
For sure. Oh, my gosh.
I think our episode, because we release on Wednesday and y'all release on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we're recording this on Sunday. So ours will come out with you guys first this Wednesday.
Perfect.
And so no one will hear this until after. So it really doesn't matter that I'm saying.
So we're like, yeah, oh, I'm
working it all
out. It's already out. So if you're hearing this first, it's already out. Go listen.
Oh, yeah.
To
and then the printer inside joke.
Yeah.
You'll get it.
Yes, you'll get that callback. Yes.
So it was a Terry Carnation worthy callback.
Oh, that means so much.
You'll get it all by listening to our episode. Yes.
Where can people find you? Or what social medias, all that good stuff.
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod. I'm sorry, on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod and on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at on the computer?
I am on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace and I'm on Twitter at Christy or GTFO. Heather, where are you?
I am on Twitter at MCK versus the world and on Instagram at Heather versus the world and all other good Sinisterhood stuff is at SinisterHood.com. It's like sisterhood, but sinister.
Mm-hmm.
But like clever, yeah.
But like,
yeah.
And they do a better sign off on our show than we do on our show. To work on this.
Are you ready to watch us do our sign off?
Because we're into it.
We could not be more excited.
Yeah, we love everything you do.
Yes. All right.
Ready, Christine?
Yep.
And
that's
why
we
drink.